Like we've said, my name is Henry, and it's great to be with you tonight and tomorrow morning as well. And it's just such a blessing to come and to be amongst people who are pursuing that presence of God that we've just been singing about. And as we worship Him, as we lift Him up, as we glorify Him, the Lord loves us to draw near into His presence and to remain there. And I'm going to read really simply from Exodus 33. We're going to look at three different little things from this passage this evening. And I encourage you to just begin in verse 7. And I don't know if you've ever been camping before, but that's roughly what we're talking about right here. There's a whole load of people camping and vulnerable with the Lord, but yet having the most incredible encounter and experience with the living God. So let's begin in Exodus 33, and we'll just read verse 7 down to verse 11. It says, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about whenever Moses went out to the tent that the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. And thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Amen.
Amen.
Amazing. To hear of something that must have been so basic, must have been so simple, a people who had to flee from captivity, who had been on the move in a way that must have been something quite terrifying, as to probably forget quite a few things. Maybe the toothbrush, maybe the shampoo, probably someone even forgot their passport. But there is a point that is reached here, whereby all of the things that you could be worrying about in the everyday of life melt away because it's the presence of God. And there's something so wonderful that there's an opportunity for everyone to meet with God. If we look there in verse 7, and as we pray and as we spend time in worship tonight, we worship a God who invites everyone to be able to seek Him. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord says beautifully to us, He says to you in this 20-year celebration month, I want my birthday to be a whole month. I think you as a church having a one-month birthday is awesome. That's brilliant. That's great. I want to do that. When I turn 20, which, you know, it's a couple of years away now, I'm gonna celebrate for a whole month. But it's amazing. Because the Lord says to you, says to me, says to us, says to the people of Foxwood and the whole city of York, if you seek me, you will find me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, if you seek, if you reach out, if you want to know God, you can, because of the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
It says in John 1 that the Lord Jesus is God in human form, who has chosen to tabernacle amongst us, chosen to pitch a tent. And it's a tent that He's always going to be in. God loves camping. Maybe He loves those little gas stoves, which are really unstable and look like they're going to fall apart the whole time. Am I right? But God loves to be amongst us, and He wants us to seek Him and to know Him. Isn't that deep? Isn't that beautiful? That is the step that we want to take hold of there in verse 7. And as we worship, as we pray tonight, we want to be those who are seeking the Lord. It's so good that we have a God who exists on that level. But actually, there's a deeper place. There's a deeper place of presence and worship that is spoken about here. And we see it reflected in Moses, but we see it fulfilled in Jesus. In verse 8, it says that when Moses went different to everyone else. Moses has got a different experience when he's camping. It says when Moses would go out to the tent, everyone else would arise. Everyone else would get up and watch him as he walked out there. Watch him as he made his way. You can imagine him doing it slowly because he's going to the very presence of God. And everyone stood and gazed and watched as Moses made his way forward. And all eyes were fixed on him. And then, just as Moses has done already and he's going to keep on doing, he's going to pray for the people. And there's going to be mountains moved. There's going to be plagues pushed back. There's going to be incredible salvation for their lives. And I want to encourage you today that we're not, as believers, simply those who seek the Lord and hope that we might know something. But actually, we are those who have seen God in all his fullness in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And it is when God's chosen man in Moses walks into that tent that everyone stops trying to cook baked beans on the thing, you know, burn the sausages, which they always do when you're camping. And they watch him and he makes his way in. And my friends, the depth of the presence of God that we get to see and get to encounter in Christ is that we see our lives being carried into God's heart. The presence is poured out after he steps inside. And my friends, we're not just those who seek God to be able to find what he's like, but we're those on whom the very cloud of God's presence has been poured out. Amen. Just as Moses steps inside the tent of meeting and then the cloud comes down outside it, in the very same way Jesus says, I will go to my Father in heaven and then I will send, anyone know? The Holy Spirit. I will send the very presence of the Holy Spirit, the very cloud of God upon us. We are those who don't just seek God and hope to find something, but Jesus has carried us all as a human race into the heart of heaven so that we might receive of the Holy Spirit. Is that good news?
Yeah.
Such good news. And we're going to spend some time receiving and reflecting and going deeper into that place in the Holy Spirit. I want us to be a people in this year. I believe God has been saying to me as I've been praying for you guys before getting on a wonderfully air-conditioned train all the way up here. I've had such a cool day. On my journey, I'm really sorry for anyone who's been hot. I haven't really been. But all the way here, I sense for you guys here, for those who are joining us in the morning and for those who are going to come to know the Lord through you in your next 20 years. He says you're going to be a people who do arise and stand and worship. Amen?
Amen.
Arise and stand and worship, gazing at the goodness of Jesus. You know, Jesus carries you in his heart. Jesus carries the people of Foxwood in his heart. Jesus carries the city of York in his heart. And let us be those kind of people who arise, who stand, who gaze and watch as he carries all those things in his heart into the depths and into the heart of heaven. His Spirit is poured out upon us. Amen. We want to seek God. We want to know his Spirit poured out on us. But just in this place, we're going to take some time to receive it. And I'm just going to ask Ben to come and play some keys for us. Because actually there's something deeper. Yes, we're those who go out to seek God. Yes, we're those who arise and stand and worship and marvel at the cloud of his presence poured out on our lives. But actually the scriptures tell us that we not only watch Christ, but we are in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We as the people of God are in Christ. We need some kind of E. Amen. And we want to be those who go in Christ, actually into that place. Amen.
Amen.
Actually fully into the presence of God. And it's such a simple thing to say we are in Christ, but yet it's outrageous to say that we as God's people are found in Christ, able to go right into the heart of the presence of God. And as we look to Jesus, as we marvel, as we worship at the goodness of who he is, the scriptures say that we are found in him We are in him as he carries the beautiful love right on into the heart of God. The Lord says that it's not just Jesus who is in that face-to-face encounter, but we are in it too. You can imagine Moses stepping right there to be in the presence of God, and as he's fellowshipping with God face to face, that actually we are in that embrace. The Father is looking over us and saying, I love you, with a mighty and deep love, and the face of Jesus in receiving it is what we receive. So we're just going to spend a small amount of time just in the presence of God, just receiving deeply, just receiving that renewal and that strength in his presence. Let's receive. You might want to stand, you might want to open your hands, you might want to kneel down, whatever is on your heart, let's just receive now. Lord, we declare this evening, Lord Jesus, that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. As we arise to worship, as we look to you, as we praise you, as we worship you, Lord, we dare to claim that we are in you. We say, come, presence of the Holy Spirit, fill this place, fill us, draw us deeper and deeper in for more of you. Deeper places, deeper levels of who he is towards us in this place. Jesus. Just call it out. Just call out what the Lord is revealing to you. If you want to just claim who he is, what he's promised, just call it out, we'll agree with you. Oh. 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 Speaking freedom from guilt, speaking his blessing. Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. To speak, to share some more. Let's just keep drawing near to the Lord.
Ooh, I worship you. I worship you. Worship you. I worship you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Oh yeah.
You wound me up, there we go. Lovely. Good. Well, okay, I'll have mine. No, it's fine.
Yeah, all right. You have mine.
Yeah, thanks. There we go. Don't want to get it wrong. Okay. Good. It's so lovely to just be able to worship together and just agree with all of you, even hundreds of miles north, and just enter into that same spirit of worship. And that we all share together as a family, don't we, as believers. I'm going to just share very briefly, okay? Just from the next few verses, if you've still got Exodus 33 open anywhere in front of you, you may want to look. I'll just read a couple more verses to share one thing, and then I'm just going to sing another song over you, and then we'll see where we go from there. I don't know. But there may be some more time for some worship and prayer, and I think Henry's got something else to share, so we will see. But let's just look into again this passage for a moment, where we see Moses' encounter with the Lord. So Exodus 33, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses, I think. From verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'I have known you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he, the Lord, said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." This is a wonderful assurance for Moses to receive at this point, where he thought God wasn't going to go with him, just an angel. And he sort of turns to God's face, implores him, and says, "We need you. We want your face, your presence." Those are the same words, incidentally. So when we see earlier, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. The word for the face, the presence of the Lord, is also used for the presence. It's two sides of the same coin. It's the same idea. Being that close to the Lord, you feel his presence. He's really close, okay? So my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, I'm just going to share something from this statement, "I will give you rest," because I believe the Lord wants to bless all of you with rest. Amen. Amen. Do you want to receive it?
Yes.
Does anybody need some rest?
Yeah.
Do we feel weary and heavy laden and burdened? Well, somebody else had something to say about that as well, and it was Jesus, okay? And so you probably know this well, because it was a wonderful verse, a wonderful statement. I better try and find it, but if I say it right, I don't know, I don't need to. Well, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." There we go. So that's what Jesus said, okay? A wonderful, wonderful promise. And in saying that, he was drawing on language like we find here from Exodus 33. So this is why I wanted to bring this out, because I've got a song to share in a minute, which is all about, "Come to me, I'll give you rest." And I thought it's something that's in here that's a promise for us, and we're going to take hold of it. So we can think of the words of Jesus and lay hold of those. He was drawing on perhaps this passage and this phrase, "I will give you rest." Jesus used that phrase, "and I will give you rest." He may have also used a phrase from Jeremiah. I would like to read this verse as well. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, you may know it. And again, it uses some words which very much are echoed in the mouth of Jesus. "Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls." And you will find rest for your souls. Again, that was a phrase used by Jesus right at the end of what he said there in Matthew 11. Okay, So we hear these words drawn out of the Old Testament, applied through him to say he is the one that's going to give us rest. And we see Jesus, the fulfillment of all God's wonderful promises. Amen.
Amen.
And the thing I noticed, so here's is what I want to share. I've been sharing this in a couple of places, so I thought I'd just give it to you as well. Okay. The thing I noticed about God giving us rest is that it's perhaps different from how the world might present rest to us, which is just tuning out and zoning out and vegging out and binging on Netflix or whatever your choice of binge is. And disconnecting just from anybody or anything meaningful, really, you know. We can reach that point sometimes where we want to do that if we get to complete exhaustion, which I have now done having had two children. I've definitely known that feeling. And you don't know it until you've had children. And then you really do know it. So sorry, Xander, and you know, you lot. But it's amazing as well, obviously. it's just a side, you know, thing. But anyway, so we all come to a point where we know we need rest. But the rest that God invites us to is one where we get to be face to face with him, and one where our souls get restored. And you think of that statement in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. And don't you think sometimes I want my soul to be restored? For there to be a place in me where there's depth and connection with God. Okay, so God is offering us rest. It says in Hebrews, strive to enter into his rest. That too, just like what I'm going to share here as well, it might seem like a contradiction. You strive to enter into his rest, but the more you think about it and the more you go on as a Christian, you realize and understand deeply that that is true, that you want to press forward to experience a rest with God that is deeper than any kind of binging or vegging out that you might experience, you know, in the world, in day-to-day life. God invites us to go with him, and in going, i.e. doing something, it seems like, activity, he leads us to rest. So here, it's my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. In Jeremiah, it's see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Got to do some walking, and you will find rest for your souls. And in Matthew 11, Jesus also has this aspect in there, because not only is he drawing on these passages which say, go with God, but he also says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, what was a yoke? It was the crossbar that held two oxen together who ploughed the field. Nowadays, we just have combine harvesters, okay? But they didn't have those. They had oxen and a yoke bar, which you probably know all this because it's there in a few places in the Bible, so you've probably thought about it already. But it would strap the two oxen together, and therefore they could plow together in a straight line and pull a big plow behind them, and they would kind of each be guiding the other so it stays straight. You see what I mean? And so there again, Jesus is saying, like, he's the other oxen, okay? And so if we're yoked to him, we can just go with him, and he will keep us on that straight path. Isn't that good? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So that's the imagery he's using. Again, he's saying, go with me. All right, just like God is saying to Moses, I will go with you. But really, you go with me. Follow me, follow my cloud and all that. And see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. Jeremiah is saying, go with God. And you will find rest for your souls. So that's what we want, isn't it? True, deep rest. And God is saying it to you tonight. Ark Church, go with him. Do what he says, follow him, walk that walk, and he will lead you into a deeper and more beautiful rest than I think you've ever experienced. I'm going to prophesy that over you, okay? Let me sing this song over you.
I don't know about you, but I want to go a bit deeper in the presence of God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Check with the people in your group. Are you all up for it? You all up for it? Let's go. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you a story about someone called Marion. Marion is fantastic. She's part of a church in London, one of the Ichthys congregations that I started to lead. And Marion just loves Jesus. And she's been a believer for a number of years now. She got saved at the age of about 22. And she had one of those cars. I don't know if you had one of these, where the car stereo, you could take it out so that it didn't get nicked. Do you remember those? They had to flick a little thing and then a handle came out and you had to pull it out and then take it in your house and then put it by the front door. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And her car and her car stereo, neither of them were worth a lot of money, if I'm honest. She was still, you know, post-student. It was one of those dodgy cars, dodgy car stereos. And as she got home that night, she turned off the engine and she'd been at a prayer meeting. And then she heard God tell her, your stereo's going to get nicked tonight. You shouldn't just leave it in, you should take it inside. And she was really blown away because this is one of the first times she'd really heard from God. And she was like, that's amazing. God is speaking to me about something that's going on in my life. And then she sat there for a minute and she was a bit confused because she was like, but was that really God?
Yeah.
Or is that me just being worried? Is it me being anxious about my dodgy car and the fact that it doesn't really lock very well? Or is it actually God? And she mulled over it for a while, and she was so keen to know whether it was actually God, she left it in. She left it in the car, and then she went to bed. And she came outside in the morning, quite excited, because her car had been broken into. The car stereo was gone. And she said, I heard from God! And she shared that when she preached at our church. And I thought, you are bonkers. But you love the voice of God.
Yeah,
and I thought, Marion, you love the voice of God more than your car stereo.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, she's got a different car now. And I don't know if she's ever been broken into again. But she knows that God speaks to us.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And she knows that God speaks to us, not just the kind of things that are going to build us up, are going to bless us as individuals. But God wants to speak to us and give us the prayers and the actions for when we want to see his kingdom come. Amen. And God was encouraging Marion to see his kingdom come in her dodgy, rusty car. And on her street, which in southeast London, let's be honest, there's a fair amount of crime. And God wanted to speak to her about that. But he also wanted to encourage her that we can hear God's voice. Amen. And actually what happens in this beautiful encounter with Moses is that we can learn to hear God's voice in a way that is not just something that exists within us. Not just the rest that we find in our souls, but something that goes on beyond us. Amen.
Amen.
That being those who seek God and being those who are in God's presence, we become those who are able to pray with his authority. And we want to pray that in as part of your September long birthday as a church. Do you get a cake every day? We should. Yeah. Or we could just have one cake and cut it into 30 slices, couldn't we? But the key thing is that we want to go forward as a church in the UK who knows more of what it is to pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done in York as it is in heaven. Amen. We want to see it beautifully break through. And actually, Moses is like that. He's saying, do you know what? I've seen your glory face to face. But Lord, I want to see your glory not just in the tent, but out of the tent as well. Not just resting there, but moving through and going past. And, you know, it is beautiful because if you scroll down, if you've still got your Bible open, there's these beautiful things. He says, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord before you. Before that, he says, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. And then he says, I'll be gracious on those I'll be gracious to. I'm going to show compassion onto those I'm going to onto those on whom I'm going to show compassion. That took a long time to say, didn't it? But he's talking about the power of the name of the Lord and there being goodness and grace and compassion. And it's something that in prayer and in intercession, it doesn't stay within the tent, but it's able to come out and move through this earth. And actually, it's just, again, a snapshot, a tiny bit of the kingdom of Jesus that we want to see expressed in this city. Amen. I don't know about you, but the next 20 years of the Ark Church, we want to see more people get saved. Amen. We want to see more people say, I have found the goodness and the grace and the compassion of God. I never knew it before and I know it now. And we want to pray that. We want to prophesy that. We want to speak those prayers. And we're going to have a moment to pray them in over York. And we're going to pray them in over Foxwood. And we want to pray them into the lives of those who don't yet know him. Because it's not those who get out there and just shout about goodness and grace and compassion. Believe me, I'm quite good at shouting, if I'm honest. I actually play the drums, which is the loudest and the most godly of all instruments. And so I have to say my hearing probably isn't quite as good as it should be. And I know how to shout, and I know how to call it out, and I know how to get on the streets and make a big noise for Jesus. In fact, we were doing that yesterday. We were worshipping on the streets in a little part of southeast London where we're doing a whole weekend of mission called City on a Hill. And we were worshipping for so long that I lost my voice. And it was great, and I loved it. But my friends, it's useless. And yes, unless we are carriers of the presence of God. Yeah. Amen. And actually, when we look at Moses there in verse 11, and we're thinking, unbelievable that this man, Moses, is meeting with God face to face. Unbelievable that Moses finds it in himself to pray for the people of Israel and his brother Aaron after they've just failed so horrendously. So much sin is around them, but yet they've got the compassion to pray in. Don't know about you as a believer, but sometimes when you see the sin in the world around you, you struggle to have faith to see people saved. Am I right? But actually, it's someone else who stays in the presence. It's Joshua in verse 11 who stays in the presence of God. Who doesn't just say, I've got some more stuff to do now. I need to go and get back to my work, back to my business, back to my tent, back to my baked beans and my burning sausages. He says, no, I want to remain in the presence of God. And then who is it that takes the people into the promised land? It's Joshua. And I believe the Lord wants you as prayers, as the intercessors in the Ark Church, as those who are carriers of the presence of God in Foxwood. The Lord says, remain in my presence. And out of being those presence carriers, we're going to see goodness and grace and compassion flowing in the lives of those who don't yet know Jesus. Is anyone with me?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Ben to come up. And we're going to spend some time in prayer. And it may be that you have a prayer for Foxwood or for York in your heart. And we want to pray out those prayers today. Doesn't matter if it's the most simple of prayers. It doesn't matter if it's the most obvious of prayers. But if we pray in the power of the presence of God, God is able to move mountains. Amen. God is able to do beautiful and wonderful things. So here in this place, let's just be still in the presence of God just one more time. As we've been welcoming him by his Spirit so much, the Lord has many, many things that he wants us to pray, that he wants us to lift up. So we're going to sing this song. We're going to raise a hallelujah here.